It's my last Sunday of picking hymns for a while. Hope you guys have enjoyed them. I apologize. Apparently, you guys sang Amazing Grace one too many times. Dan, thanks for calling me out on that. Today, we wrap up our summer movie sermon series with Disney's movie Newsies. Turned Tony award-winning Broadway hit, and it's based on the true story that took place back in 1899. Several thousand newsboys who made about 30 cents a day called a strike, refusing to handle the newspapers of William Randolph Hearst and Joseph Pulitzer. Competing papers provided coverage on the strikers, who were depicted as colorful characters who spoke back then in real life in an Irish sort of dialect, but in the movie, amazing New York City accents, and had names like Crutchy, Patchy, Racetrack, Higgins, and Spot. In the movie, the lead character was newsboy and strike leader named Jack Kelly. In real life, his name was Kid Blink because he was blind in one eye. The movie musical tells us the story of children. Let that sink in for a moment. Children banding together to strike against what was the most powerful entity in New York City at the time, because they knew that they were being treated unfairly just because the folks sitting high up in their offices had no regard for the children and their lives. Newsboys first appeared on the city streets in mid-19th century with the rise of mass circulation of newspapers. They were often poor, homeless children who often yelled the headlines well into the night and often slept on the street. In 1866, a reformer named Charles Loring Brace described the newsboys in New York City as this: there were 10,000 children living on the streets of New York. The newsboys constitute an important division of this army of homeless children. You see them everywhere. They rend the air and deafen you with their shrill cries. They surround you on the sidewalk and almost force you to buy their papers. They are ragged and dirty. Some have no coats, no shoes, no hats. In the movie, we see some of the children, or the newsies, are homeless, live in orphanages, or also living in what we would now call juvenile detention centers, forced to work, but also children needing to help their families make ends meet. Two of the newsies, one of whose only 10, hit the streets to sell papers because their father was injured at work and had to take off to heal. The newsies went on strike to stick up for themselves and for all the children who were being taken advantage of in that time. Have you ever seen kids say the darndest things? Or for a different generation, maybe Little Big Shots? It's amazing to me what kids say in truth and light. They have little filter and just say whatever comes to mind. I've seen it here with the kids, with Mr. Brandon during children's time. We never know what they're going to say. I feel like maybe that's why Brandon doesn't ask a ton of questions. I've seen it far too many times with my own nieces and nephews, and sometimes it's just them repeating something that they've heard us say, but sometimes it's exactly what we need to hear. Children can lead us. Children can give us the courage we don't think we have. And if you were at the March for Our Lives or saw the footage on TV or social media, it was so neat to see so many children come out for the march themselves. I mean, heck, the March for Our Lives was started by children. The lawmakers, parents, adults in general, to them were not doing enough. And so they stepped up, took their lives into their own hands. And what did we do? We followed them. The movies I chose for this 4 weeks had the fact that, I mean, besides the fact that they were musicals in common, but also they had strong children leads, with Phineas Barnum dreaming of a place where no one felt uninvited and everyone was loved from the time he was little to the time he grew up, to Coco following his dreams to play music and be his own person even when his whole family was against it. And last week's Sound of Music, where the Von Trapp children taught their father how to love again. And this week, the children, the newsies, take on big media to demand a better life for themselves and their families. To switch gears a little bit, have you ever thought about what it would be like if God went on strike? 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13, directs us to that point, for at any time we can be cut off, for the scripture says. When I close the sky so that there is no rain, or I order the locusts to consume the land, or I send a plague against my people, this signifies the possibility that God can. I have come to believe that we never stop to thank God for the simple things in life, the earth, sunlight, the air we breathe. We just assume it'll be there. Some of us are going along our merry way, not even thanking God for allowing us the privilege of life. And the question that arises from the text today is, what if God goes on strike? What would happen if God decided to withhold from us the benefits of nature? How would you fare if God goes on strike? When viewed from the text, we can see how God does have the power to command or will strike by the elements of nature. Here, the extended verses from 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We have Solomon, son of David, realizing the blessing that he has. We see here that he's built a temple in Jerusalem and has prayed unto the Lord. A great celebration was given and sacrifices were made. The text says that 120,000 sheep, 22,000 oxen, all given in sacrifice for all that God has done. In consideration for what God has allowed Solomon to do in the building of the temple at the summit on Mount Moriah, Solomon was thankful to the Lord. The temple was so glorious, full of finery from all around. The nails were made of 50 shekels of gold. The beams were made of gold. The cherubim, all made of gold. Precious stones and gems decorated the temple. It was as pretty could be. The size and length of the temple was as great as it could be. In modern-day assessment, the building was 660,000 cubic feet. It was as tall as it was wide. Imagine that, if you will. It was glorious. Brass pots and lamps lining the walls of the temple, all for the glorification of God. A lot of labor and effort went into the building of the house of God in consideration for the task that he was able to do. Solomon never forgot that it was God who allowed him to get from foundation to temple. The effort and the energy that it took to complete it was nothing more than the Lord blessing him for all the work, hard work he had done. For the word tells us in Psalms 127, verse 1, unless it is the Lord who builds the house, the builder's work is pointless. Unless it is the Lord who protects the city, the guard on duty is pointless. We see here Solomon is in prayer offering thanks to God for blessing of the completion of the temple. In all of his praying, in all of his ceremonial celebration, Solomon waited for an answer from the Lord. The chronicle writer states in verse 1 that the Lord's glory filled the temple. The Lord heard Solomon's prayer. God's presence filled the temple, and the people were in awe of the presence of God. And then the writer says, the Lord appeared unto Solomon and said, Solomon, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. When I chose the sky so that there is no rain, or I order the locusts to consume the land, or I send a plague against my people, if my people who are called by name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. You see, God was concerned with the plight of the people with whom a covenant had been made. God wanted to know that he was still God above everything and anyone else. Israel had a thing for turning away from God each time God had blessed them. They were easily persuaded into serving other gods and were quick to forget how God had been to them. How often are we too to forget what God has done for us? The proclamation made to Solomon is one that was firm and a strong warning to Israel to remain faithful to God. For if Israel remained faithful to the covenant, God would continue to bless them. If they were unfaithful in their ways, God would ultimately destroy Israel, it says. God would withhold the blessings they had been receiving. God in his withholding and could go on strike. The text provides us some interesting revelations, like take a look at and see what the word reveals. The first revelation is that God has power in his hands and under God's control, and God alone can direct God's will, whatever way God pleases. God has the power to will a strike by the elements of nature. The text points to that fact. God has the power to direct his will towards us. God could shut off the supply line from heaven, and we could be in turmoil. If God held back the rain, there would be no snow or water, no flowers in your garden, no crops, no collard greens, snap peas, butter beans, no tomatoes, and no corn. God could give order to the sun to cut off the heat supply. There would be no sun to brighten our day, no sun to give us warmth on winter's coldest days. If God held back the sun, there would be no rays to melt the snow caps and mountains. If God goes on strike, if God decided to withhold what God controls, we wouldn't have the cattle grazing on the hills, the birds in the air, the harvest in the fields. And if God goes on strike, God could hold back the day and hold back the night. God is in control. As we look out at humankind today, we see our economy and, yes, our lives in bad shape. We are in a sad situation. There's hunger in Africa, disease in Somalia, war in Afghanistan, homelessness, racism, depression, drugs on the streets, crime in our cities, natural disasters on the rise. We are in bad shape. The ground is poisoned, water is tainted, the air is polluted, mountains don't have minerals, and the earth does not deliver as it once did. We need to know this morning how we're going to regain the blessing that God withholds. Now understand the state that we're in is not because of bad management, for management has done all it could do to make things good for us. The state that we're in is because of the laborers. Somewhere along the way, the laborers have not lined up to the conditions of the contract. Somewhere along the way, the rules or regulations or commandments that govern us have not been followed. When this division occurs, the odds he who controls and those that receive a strike can occur. And the question this morning is, what if God, who is high-level management, decided God was tired of the careless way of humankind? What if God decided that God was tired of humanity's inhumanity to God? What if God decided that we would no longer receive our daily blessings? In other words, what would happen if God decided to cut off the channels of communication to us? Now, this leads me to another revelation from the text, and that is God has his communications turned into our prayers. God listens to the prayers we pray. The Chronicle writer lifts it up and says, "The Lord appeared unto Solomon and said, I have heard thy prayer, and this house shall be a house of sacrifice unto myself." All too often, we wish things and hope for things, but far too little lend our hopes and wishes in the power of prayer. Prayer lifted up causes God to bow down with a listening ear. Prayer is the heart's sincerest desire. Prayer at its highest is asking God where we stand and asking God for intersection on our belief or on our behalf. Prayer causes joy in the weary, worn, and sad. Prayer brings happiness to the lowly souls. Prayer brings healing to the sick. If we pray, God listens. God heard Solomon's prayer, and I have found that God still is answering prayers today. And while we are journeying this morning, we see in this strike scenario, this withholding of our blessings, that it requires something on our part in return to order and to receive the blessings. We need to humble ourselves and pray, seek the Lord and turn from error. We are living in an age where people have turned away from God and are going their own way. We are living in a time where sin is all around us, in our homes, in our schools, and yes, in our churches. There's child abuse, spousal abuse, drug abuse. Crime is being committed from the White House to your house and from back streets to main streets. With all God has blessed us with, humankind has come up short each and every time. We are destroying the environment and destroying each other. A whole lot of folks are losing out in life. God wants us to turn from our errors and seek God, and we must do so by humbling ourselves. As I see it, God promises that if we make the move towards God, that a blessing will occur, and God alone can rescind the order for a strike. For the writer picks up and says, God will forgive our sins and will heal the land. Just as God said to Solomon and to Israel, I will be your God and you shall be my people. I hear those words echoing in my ears. God wants us to be faithful people. If we are faithful, God will send the blessings. And if we are faithful, God will send the blessings, for he is still in the blessing business. I am so glad that this morning that God didn't go on strike. For if God had gone on strike when I woke up this morning, just about the break of day, I began to see the daylight coming in from my window in my bedroom. And I was able to say, thank you, Lord, for another day. I'm so glad that God didn't go on strike. If God had gone on strike early this morning, and when I went to the faucet to get some water, God had already put wet in the water, and it flowed through the faucet. And then when I sat down for breakfast, and I said, humble our hearts and pardon our sins and make us worthy, for these and all other blessings, I had food to eat. But if God had gone on strike, I wouldn't have been able to grace that food that he put on my table. Everything that we have, everything we receive comes from the Lord. Everything we have are blessings from God. The Lord has brought us a mighty long ways. But if God had gone on strike, I don't know where we would be. As a matter of fact, the Lord is blessing me and is blessing you right now. Just as Israel was obedient to God's will and received blessings of God, we too must strive to continue to receive the blessings from God. There is one more thing that we need to know on this journey this morning. There is a remedy for this whole strike scenario. The remedy is that there is some hope and help in the strike situation. You see, in every strike situation, no matter how contested the issues are, no matter how difficult the negotiations, there is always one person that can help normalize the relationship and situation that existed between management and labor. There is always a mediator. The one who knows what the problems are. Someone who has been among the laborers and knows what the laborers are like. Someone that is appointed as a representative. Someone who goes to management and stands to ensure that management has a listening ear. Someone that the laborers' cause and pleas protected. The mediator also knows the management desires. And the mediator knows what it takes to please management. The mediator also looks out for the needs of management. The mediator works to ensure management is pleased and that the laborers do their part to ensure that the partnership is made right. Just as God made a commandment to Solomon to ensure that the partnership was right, God made a commitment to all of humankind to ensure that our partnership was made right. God sent Jesus as the mediator, who was summoned and elected for cause of humankind. He was chosen and appointed to bridge the gap between God and humankind. He stands between earth and eternity to plead our case. He knows the desires of management because he at one time was part of management, for he told the world, I and my Father are one. Yes, he came to ensure the partnership was right. They hung him high and stretched him wide. They laid him in a grave, and he told death, I'm just here for a weekend reservation. And I heard him tell death, I'm just here to get victory. And on the third morning, he got up with all power in his hands because it was given unto him in the heaven and in the earth. And what that meant, God didn't go on strike. Be faithful, stay humble, and keep seeking the Lord's face. And when life's journey has ended, we shall receive the benefits of the lasting partnership. A partnership that will last throughout eternity. I'm so glad that God didn't go on strike.